When I first began my ministry, it was in rural Southland, and I would look out from my study window across the gentle rolling hills and the lovely countryside that was there. Across the way from me was a farm, and I could watch the shepherds there as they tended to the sheep. On the summer days, it must have been so nice to be able to just go out and go around the farm and check how things were. But the Southland winters with the sleet and the snow were not good days to be out. And I remember clearly enjoying the warmth of my study while looking out at the shepherds going round through the sleet and the snow. It always seemed to be that the last snow of the season would come during lambing time. And so the farmers would be busy anyway. But going out in that weather just showed their dedication. It was a good model for me as I began my pastoral ministry to see the dedication of those shepherds for the flock. In the Bible, we find that shepherding is the main image that is used for leadership. In the Old Testament, King David is introduced to us as a shepherd boy. He is tending the sheep and protecting them from harm. Later in his life, this shepherd king wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Even earlier than this, in Genesis, we find Jacob, the patriarch, blessing Joseph and speaking of God, who has been my shepherd all the days of my life. Given that this idea of God being the shepherd is such a strong idea in the Old Testament, Jesus' followers would have been stunned when he used this image to describe himself and said, "I am the good shepherd." For us as Christians, it's wonderful to think of Jesus as the good shepherd, all the more so when we hold the image of the good shepherd and the words of the 23rd Psalm together. Too often in the world around us today, people think of God as a God of wrath. But we, who are his flock, experience the comfort of the Good Shepherd who gently leads us to green pasture, to still waters, who guides us, who protects us when times are difficult, and even, we are told, will prepare a feast for us. Well, when Peter was writing his letter to this early church, he was very aware that for them to live a good life, they needed to have good leaders. And so he drew on this image of the shepherd leader. And Peter wrote, saying, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." To better understand the way that Peter uses this shepherd imagery, it's helpful to remember the way that Jesus restored and reinstated Peter after he had denied Jesus three times. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him this third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And here we have Jesus, the Good Shepherd, inviting his friend back into this pastoral ministry by inviting him to care for the flock like a good shepherd would. So as Peter reflects upon the difficulties of the early church and understanding the pressures of the elders of his day, he spoke to them with echoes of Jesus' own words. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. In the Presbyterian Church, the person we normally refer to as the minister is more properly called a teaching elder. Every minister needs to approach the work of ministry, this teaching eldership, with willingness. Ministry isn't a path towards power or wealth or status. And ministers need to be careful because each of these things can tempt them, can divert them from the path of humble service. And so Peter calls upon these elders to be willing and eager to serve, and also to be an example to the flock. Elsewhere in the scriptures, Paul lists the qualities looked for in an elder. Typically, a person who is above reproach, self-controlled, able to teach, respectable, and faithful. And these are the types of virtues we look for in a spiritual leader. We shouldn't have unrealistic expectations of ministers who are humanly as frail as anyone else, but we may expect them to be godly leaders seeking to follow Jesus and reflecting kingdom virtues in their lives. And so when a minister fails in these virtues, falls into sin, it's felt all the more keenly among those in his or her pastoral care. It appears more hypocritical because while we know our spiritual leaders are fallible, we do have these high expectations of them as they walk with the Lord and seek to lead us in the Lord's ways. And so Peter says elders should not pursue dishonest gain or lord it over people. I think before anyone considers being an elder, a minister in the church, they should read Ezekiel 34. It says, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who take care only of yourselves." And this is God's judgment upon the leaders of Israel who were taking advantage of the people. And it's very sobering when you read it. God says to these shepherds, "You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have treated them harshly and brutally." And so this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says. "I am against the shepherds. I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them." Well, why is God so angry? Because he loves the flock so much. And he is hurt when he sees them abused or misused. It breaks his heart. Because both God and the people of Israel had a right to expect their leaders to be faithful to the task. It isn't wrong for the shepherds to benefit from their position, but when taken to excess, no longer caring for the flock, but abusing their position, that's a travesty that God rails against. Clearly, God holds such shepherds accountable for their actions. And any shepherd of the flock should keep in mind Ezekiel's words. Long ago, I turned these words into a pastoral prayer that I pray quite often. "Lord, help me to care for your flock, to strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, to bind up the wounded, and to seek the lost." And in a very personal way, I hear these words as a warning. And I would hate for the time to come when I stand before God to have him say such things of me or of my ministry. Church leaders are to be shepherds who care for the flock, not the sheepdogs who nip at their heels. In Ezekiel, God promises to shepherd the sheep with justice and says, "You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God." God speaks of rescuing them, caring for them, leading them to green pastures. God says, "I myself will tend the sheep and make them lie down." I don't know of any other faith in the world that portrays God as a good shepherd who so lovingly cares for his people. It's only Christianity that invites people into such a relationship with God. Only Christianity that reveals a God that has such a love for the flock, who goes to the extent of sacrificing his own son so that they could be brought to him and know their his goodness. Well, I don't know for sure that Peter had Ezekiel's passage in mind, but he certainly would have known about it. He would have understood God's desire for people to be cared for by a good shepherd. And linked to what Peter says about Jesus, the chief shepherd, he also says then, "Because of this, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. In all your cares, each and every care, you can cast those upon Jesus who loves you. The smallest thing that troubles you to the largest, you can place upon Jesus." This is a wonderful verse for the days we live in. It has meaning for us all the time, but perhaps particularly in this season. It speaks to our hearts when we live in difficult and uncertain times. It touches us in a different way. Over the next few months, well, this will be a testing time as our nation opens up and COVID spreads more widely among us. Many people I've spoken to are not so worried about getting COVID themselves, but more anxious about perhaps I would pass it on to someone who I love who wouldn't fare so well. We feel secure in our faith, trusting in God, our good shepherd, and with shepherd hearts, we want to protect the others who are around us so that they don't suffer needlessly. We have a lovely image from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote of God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. This is God, who is our comfort, who always holds us close, the restorer of our souls, the healer of our hearts. Reading this reminds me of the words of Jesus, who said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And as you think about shepherd leadership, you can see so much of what Jesus said and did were actually the acts of a good shepherd, one who cared, the way he would guide his disciples and they would follow him, the way he provided spiritual food for the flock, the way he would lay down his life for the sheep, all of these acts of shepherd leadership. Well, what difference does this make to us? There are lessons here for us. Some of those lessons are about leadership in our church. Leaders should be modeled on the shepherd leadership found throughout the Bible, and especially in Jesus Christ. Elders and leaders in the church need to take these things to heart, to follow in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd, caring for his flock as he expects us to do. And so we must consider how we can strengthen the weak and heal the sick, how we bind up the wounded and seek the lost. While Peter is writing this to elders, in fact, it applies to us all. We can express this shepherd heart in our families, among our friends, in the places that we work. And this is very much what Hannah was saying in the children's time, that the things that God has given to us, we can also share and give to others. But perhaps more importantly for us today than thinking about leadership are the advantages of knowing the Good Shepherd, the promised rest for our souls, that he invites us to cast our cares on him, that he advises us through the scriptures, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray. Pray to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we do this, our lives will change. Truth be told, I'm sure many of us are doing this already, finding our comfort and strength from our relationship with the Good Shepherd, finding the strength in the words that he has given to us in the Bible and leaning upon these verses. And if we, through Christ, are comforted and find strength in these days, perhaps through Christ we can use this to comfort others. Don't just enjoy the benefits of the Good Shepherd in our own lives, but take and share that shepherd heart with all you come into contact with, today, tomorrow, in the week ahead. And all this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.